All right. So this kid walks into a bookstore, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes up to a book about buffer overflows. All right, it's just sitting there on the shelf. He walks up to it, picks it up, and reads it. And on the cover it says, "Warning, some assembly required."
Yeah, I get it. I actually get it.
You get it?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I thought I was the only one. I think we should start off by updating people as to what exactly is going on, because...
Well, they still remember us.
Well, they still remember us, yeah, but I mean, we're having problems as we speak right now.
Yeah, we are having problems.
Because, wouldn't you know it, Live 365, yet again, is screwing us over.
Yeah, no, they don't... Why don't you go and tell them about that.
Okay, well, it all started when I tried to connect to our stream. You know, I always do this before the show just to make sure everything's in order. You know, I check the microphone, make sure that's working. You know, I go through the whole routine.
Actually, it all started last week.
This all started last week?
Yes, Live 365 started screwing us over.
Oh, right. Well, last week they said that they would be down for planned maintenance for a couple hours.
Yeah, almost then, exactly at the time that we broadcast.
Yeah, an hour before we would go on, they would be down for a couple hours. So, wasn't that nice?
I think that's a little conspiracy going on there, but you know.
Well, they had posted some updates on the site. They give out little notices, and apparently since then they have gotten everything back in order. Then they had some problems like 2 days ago. That was rectified. That was fixed. But now I don't know what's going on, because get this. This is the confusing part. Right now I am broadcasting to Live 365.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's listening to that stream.
No one is, because no one can get through to it. Now, here's the thing. The IP address right now is 66.28.48.88:10154. All right, now, if you remember, just like 3 hours ago, not even.
Yeah, I remember.
The port address for our IP... was like, what was it, 10168, something like that?
It was 68.48.
Right, well, the IP address was the same, right?
No.
It wasn't. What was the IP address?
Well, our original one that we've had for a while was 66.28.48.80:9474.
Right.
And today you told me earlier that they changed it to... Hang on one second. Earlier, you told me they changed it to 66.28.48.89:10360.
10360. Okay, well, right now, it's claiming that our IP address is 66284888 and port 10154. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and try to connect to that right now on the air. Let's see if this works, because, like I said, this says I'm broadcasting to this address, so let's go ahead and verify this to see what we get. Now, if it works, well, hey, great, everybody can tune in, but...
But it's not going to work.
No, I have a feeling it's not going to.
It's not.
Let's, Dash, don't be pessimistic.
Trust me.
Yeah, even right now it says your stream is not available.
Yeah.
In the little Winamp thing. Now let's see what it says. Try to get the volume up.
In later. Live 365. We're sorry. You've reached a station that is unavailable at this time. Please try again later.
Now, see, I couldn't have planned that any better. I wish I could have a recording like that, and it was just a big joke, but it's not.
Yeah. It's weird that they use that.
It makes absolutely no sense at all, because right now I'm broadcasting to that address. I'm recording the show using the live program, but nobody can tune in.
Nobody can tune in, and it's all IF365's fault.
And there's nothing on the site that says why this is happening. You know, I have a feeling. I have a feeling. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I'm starting to think that maybe...
Maybe they don't want us there.
Maybe this is something that happens to people that don't pay.
Maybe.
You know, because I'm one of their founding members, which means I don't, you know, pay them every month. So maybe now the founding members get their port changed, get their IP address changed, like... every few hours, so that people actually have to go to the Live 365 site to find them.
I hope it doesn't keep changing, because that would be a big bitch.
Well, yes, it would be a big bitch, and I hope not, but so far it's not looking good. But fortunately, good thing we did get those Rant Radio streams, because we can still broadcast to those.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I wanted to try something here. I wanted to actually try connecting to the Rant Radio streams live on the air, just for the heck of it, you know, just for fun.
Okay, you're just gonna get you.
Yeah, I know, but it'll be fun to hear for the listeners.
Okay, if it's for the listeners, then we can do it.
All right, let's
connect. Everything's for the listeners.
Let's connect to the Rant Radio streams. It's gonna go quick, because as you know, they're a lot faster than Live 365.
Yeah. Of course, you got that cable modem.
Oh, you know what?
What?
I'm not even sure if it's gonna go through. Oh, here we go. It's gonna work.
Okay.
I thought it was gonna give me that.
It'd be fun to hear for the listeners.
Okay. For the listeners, then we can do it.
All right. Let's.
Thanks for the listeners.
Let's connect to the Rant Radio streams. Now we could really mess people up with this. I mean, people will have no idea what's live and what's not.
Of course, you got that camera mode.
Oh, you know what?
What?
I'm not even sure if it's gonna go through. Oh, here we go. It's gonna work.
Okay.
I thought it was going to give me that.
It's fun to hear for the listeners.
How deep do you think we can get this thing going?
I don't know, man.
Let's connect to the Rant Radio streams. Now, we could really mess people up.
We really could,
though.
We could.
We'll have no idea what's live and what's not.
We could
screw up people bad.
Oh, you know what?
What?
I'm not even sure it's going to go through.
Hold on. Oh, okay. It just buffered. Great. Okay. How deep do you think we can get this thing going? I don't know. I think we can get it pretty deep.
Let's connect to the Rant Radio streams. We can really mess people up.
We really could, though.
We could.
I'm telling you, we can mess people up.
Screw up people bad.
Hold on. Oh, okay. It just buffered. Great. Just buffered. All right. I think I killed it.
Yeah, it's giving me feedback.
Well, that was something new.
Yeah. That was interesting.
Oh, man.
Hearing ourselves on delay.
Okay, so yeah. But delay, like, times 10. Okay, so that was definitely interesting. I gotta get this shirt off, because it is hot as a mother in here.
Oh, no, not keep the shirt on, man.
It's the button-up shirt. Dash, I don't want to get you excited. I know.
Oh, no.
I know you love when the guys take off their shirts.
Oh,
Dash,
man, don't
I'm
even.
Sorry, it's just it's not gonna happen.
There's just
no chance, Dash.
No, I don't swing that way.
All right, now. What should we talk about? We told people how Live 365 totally screwed us.
No, we need to mention the chat, though.
Yeah. Okay, you can go into irc.2600.net. I swear, I almost said box.
No, it's still not up.
No, and I don't think it's going to be up anytime soon.
It's just gone forever.
It's irc.2600.net channel HackerMind. Now, we don't have any control over that. It's whoever gets there first. So, you know, if we're opt, well, hey, good. If we're not, well, be gentle.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of IRC, and anytime you speak of IRC, you know bad news is going to follow because...
Well, not all the time.
Oh, all the time.
Sometimes it's good news.
No, it's not. Because IRC is just like the... it's just the spawning point of evil. You know, all evil spawns in there.
Why? What happened?
Well, nothing really, nothing specific. But I mean, it seems like every time I go into IRC,
something bad happens.
Yeah, yeah. Now this really can't be considered.
No, that's not true because you were in there earlier and nothing bad happened.
I wasn't in there long enough though, Dash. That was just a little stopover.
Oh, okay.
And those were HackerMind listeners. Come on.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about IRC channels that have a bunch of strangers in them. Not HackerMind listeners.
Okay.
That's not IRC. The HackerMind channel is, it's like an extension of HackerMind, you know?
Yeah.
It's the cool place.
Yeah, it is. It's the happening place on the web, man.
No, never call it that. Never call it the happening place on the web. First of all, IRC is not on the web.
I'm talking about the HackerMind chat.
Yeah, I know, but it's still not on the web. It's on the net, but there's a difference.
Right. Happening place on the net. Sorry.
Hey. There you go. Anyway, I was in IRC this past Tuesday, as I often am,
okay.
In pound off the hook on the same server that we're on, 2600.net.
Yeah.
And, you know, I usually camp out in there during off the hook.
I'm sure you do.
And, you know, sometimes I'll go in there, people say hi. Friendly folk most of the time until they start talking about something that has nothing to do with anything. But, you know what happened this time?
What happened now?
Nobody said hi. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people were talking about HackerMind, and not a single person even acknowledged me. They didn't even say, oh, hey, Screamer, how you doing? It was just, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they don't care about you, they care about the show.
I mean, you know, don't I feel loved? I mean, true, it could be anybody, but it's not.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, it could be, but hey, if you talk to me in the IRC and you're not sure if it's really me, because I don't think you can nickserve over there, can you? You can't register, right?
No, not on 2600.net.
I think they claim you can, but I've never been able to. But anyway, just email me if you want proof that it's me, and that's how you'll know. Screamer@hackermind.net, and then I'll tell you. no, sorry, dude, that wasn't me, but it was me. People are talking about HackerMind, which I'm very thankful for, but...
Well, yes, obviously.
I started talking to them, and I'm saying, you know, I'm talking about HackerMind with these people, mm-hmm. And they don't even say anything. It's like, who the hell are you?
Yeah, what are you talking about HackerMind for? You fucking fake? Get out of here. Is that what they were saying, or...?
No, they just don't even say anything to me. Well, I shouldn't say that, not all the time anyway, because some people, you know, have said, oh, hey, you're the host of it, and yes, how are you? And I have some nice conversations, friendly people, but...
Yeah, that's always good.
But the last time, one guy knew me from the articles I wrote, but big deal, I want to be known for HackerMind, and I'm in there, and they're talking about it, but they don't even...
Yeah, you mentioned that part.
Well, Dash, we got to fill time somehow, you know?
That is true.
And speaking of time, 3 hours. How does that sound? Does that sound good, or should we go for longer?
I don't know. I think it should be a little longer this time.
A little longer this time, huh?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. It just depends, you know?
Yeah. See, that's a real problem, because 4 hours is pushing it.
Yeah, it is kind of pushing it.
I mean, you remember how scared we were with three? You know, now, see, but the good news is, for this time, you're going to be here.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Now, what are we talking about? Well, for those of you that have been living under a rock, you can go to HackerMind.net and look on the front page. Dash made a nice little banner for you there.
Yeah,
it says, On 2, 7-10-02. So, yes, the second HackerMind All-Nighter will be held on September, you idiot.
Why?
See, I know I just totally screwed people up.
Why?
July 10th, 2002.
Yes, the second Hecamino Niner. I know, I'm excited.
Now, you were going to say that you did something. What were you going to say?
I don't know.
Oh, I cut you off there. All right, so you can check that out on the front page. Dash has the little banner, and we are going to get a page up. Is that correct?
Yeah, we will eventually.
Okay, we're going to have a Han 2 page before the actual all-nighter so that we can update you, let you know what's going on. Now, here's what we have planned so far. As you know, the first HackerMind all-nighter, which was held back in November, right?
Good times.
Yeah, good times. Good time was had by all. It was a great time. It went off without a hitch. Now, obviously, we can't guarantee that that's going to happen at every all-nighter, but we certainly hope so. The all-nighter was kind of an online party. You know, it was like a celebration.
Yeah.
For no real reason. It was just...
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was just us staying up for, well, I don't want to say all night. Yeah, it's the all-nighter, but hey, so what?
You know what saddens me about that, though?
What's that?
About the last all-nighter.
What?
Is that now... Some of those people who were there aren't here anymore.
Oh, you mean the listeners?
Yeah.
The people that tuned in. Well, they could be. They could be. They're not in the chat, perhaps. You know, we haven't heard from them in a while, but they could still be here.
Well, if they're still listening, they need to come in the chat and be all, hey, I'm back.
Yeah. I know we had a female listener.
I believe so.
Yeah, Micro, right?
I don't know. And there was... A few other people.
Yeah. I know she called in, and that was like, wow, it's a girl listening to HackerMind. She's cool.
Yeah.
But it was a great time. I went outside, snuck around my neighborhood, live on the air.
You get arrested though, so I was a little disappointed there.
Oh yeah, well, Dash is the only one that. No, see, during the show you're telling me don't get arrested. Now you're saying, nah, geez, you didn't get arrested.
Oh yeah. One of these days you're going to get arrested and I'm just going to be so happy.
Yeah, you want me to get arrested.
Maybe it's on the air and if it's for something small.
Yeah.
I'll just go to prison or something. Although that would be kind of cool to talk about, but...
We have a lot of things planned for the second HackerMind All-Nighter, and I just want to... We don't want to spoil any surprises, but I do want to tell people what we have planned so far. So far, like I said, Dash is... Hopefully, if all goes well, and it should, Dash is going to be here. No more listening to Dash on the phone.
I'm going to be there.
Screamer and Dash will be here live in the studio hosting the all-nighter. Now, you've heard HackerMind before, but you've never seen it until now.
Right.
We're planning on having, and I stress planning because, as with anything, you know, something can change, something can come up, something can go wrong. So this is just stuff that we're hoping to have. We're planning on having a live web broadcast, a live video feed, if you will.
Yeah.
With a webcam. Now, webcams tend to not have the greatest quality in the world, but it's still something. So you'll be able to see Dash and myself, God help you, live during the all-nighter. Now, we can't guarantee a great show.
Yeah.
No stripping. I know Dash is hoping for that, but no.
No, man, quit it. Oh, fuck.
None of that, but we're going to have the live video feed, and also what we want to do is actually record using a camcorder, like a behind the scenes of the all-nighter, right?
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Yeah, we're going to set up a camcorder. We're not really sure how we're going to work it yet. We don't really want to just record us sitting here for 3 hours. So we're going to edit it together. We're going to, you know, have some behind the scenes stuff, how we go about planning the show. Then we're going to have a good portion of the all nighter, and then, you know, the conclusion afterward, whatever.
Yeah, just anything we feel we want to put in there.
Yeah, exactly. And then we could, you know, we can give that out to people on the website. Of course, you know, you got to pay for the tape, we're afraid.
Yeah, we're not rich. We're not Bill Gates, all right?
No, we're not.
Not, you know, somebody else rich.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all we want to give out about the second HackerMind All-Nighter for right now. Some of you have asked what we are going to do during it, you know, what kind of special stuff we have planned. Obviously, we're going to have a chat. Obviously, we're probably going to have a conference call if enough people want it.
Yes, I think they will.
I hope so. And, you know, those are the obvious things. But aside from that, we don't want to give out any more secrets, and we have some stuff planned, but I do want to say that if you want to contribute something, if you have an idea, if you want to suggest that we try something, just either you can email us, but it would be even better if you guys went to the message board. You know, we have that whole suggestion board right under the general.
Yeah.
The comments and suggestions. Go in there and tell us what you want to hear and see in Han 2. And we'll listen. Believe me. We can't guarantee that we'll do everything, but we will try.
Yeah. If it's something, you know, we think we'd like to do, we'll do it.
So, yeah, that will be on July 10th, 2002. And as many of you know, that's 2 days before H2K2. Now, I think we should mention really quickly that we're also planning on making a type of mini-documentary similar to the all-nighter video that we're putting together, but this is going to be a bit different. This is going to be something like HackerMind at Hope, where Dash and I are going to go to H2K2 and actually film a documentary about the whole conference. So if you want to be a part of that, be sure to look for us at the conference. And
if you're there, just come up to us. You know, it's probably able to recognize us.
Yeah, after watching the video feed from the all-nighter, you'll probably be able to spot us.
Or our shirt.
Yeah, well, if we have them, we've seen.
You will.
I don't know about that, but we hope to.
Just, you know, if you're there, come up, and you can be on the tape. You can be on the documentary.
Yep, yeah. And as long as you keep it real, as they say, we'll put you in there. It's, you know, just don't come up and say, "Oh man, sup? You guys suck," and then run.
Yeah, because then
actually, we might keep that in.
Yeah, that might be pretty funny.
That would be a good. I would like that. Somebody should do that. All right. Anyway, moving on to more important business.
Actually, before we move on, I don't know. I wanted to mention the stuff I found at my work.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Remember that? Should I wait to do that, or should I go and do
it? No, go ahead and do that now.
Okay. Well, at my work, and I'll just say it's inside a gas station. Draw your conclusions from there. Yes, I work inside a gas station. Leave me alone.
But you don't work for a gas station, though.
Yeah, just let me talk. Anyways, there's an office in there for, you know, the people, the managers and the other people can go into. And I was sitting in there one day, eating up the company time by sitting down and taking a break, and I noticed something on the side of a computer in there. Now, on this computer, on the side of the computer, it actually had the certificate of authenticity on the side of the computer. And on the certificate of authenticity, they had the product key, which I know many people on the web that don't have legal versions of Windows would like to have. Mm-hmm. And also had the Windows 95 product ID on there too, and it was just a little sticker on the side of the computer. I was like, whoa, that's weird. I don't know. Should I go ahead and give out the product key, or would that be breaking the law?
Give out the CD key?
Yeah.
That's up to you, Dash. You know what that means.
I don't know. Is that breaking the law or what?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well then, I don't know. Maybe you can get it by some other means. Later. Do something with it. Anyways, besides that, which is odd in and of itself, I was looking around because I was looking around trying to find something interesting to do. Or
at work, yeah.
Yeah. And I noticed that there was a piece of paper on a board in there, and it says on it, "Drug-Free Incorporated Result Telephone Reporting System." Now, this is a telephone system that you can call, that the manager can call, and, you have to take a drug test before you get a job at this place. And they can call the number, and they can find out if you're positive for drugs or negative for drugs. And it has the number. I can give out the number. The number is 1-800-551-3466. And it has the company ID on the piece of paper. I don't think I should give that out, though. Anyway, the company ID is 5 digits. And the default password, it actually says on there, is 12345,
mm-hmm.
which it also says for you need to change it as soon as possible. And you can call up, and if you have the company ID, you can put that in. If you have the password, if they didn't change it, it'll be 12345, and you can get access to people's...
Well, why don't we try that right now?
You want to try that?
1-800-551-3466. I hope that's what he said.
the drug-free incorporated telephone reporting system.
That sounds like he's high.
The menu has been changed. Please listen carefully to all menu options before making any selection.
Enter 5-digit ID number. £5, £4, £2, £3, £6. This is an invalid ID number.
Well, duh.
Please try again. £8, £5, £4, £2, £5. This is an invalid ID number. Please try again. Please enter 5-digit ID number.
Let's try 1111, blah, blah, blah.
One. This is an invalid ID number.
All right, enough of that.
Yeah.
But if you have an ID number, you could try the default password. Now, we tried the place where you work, but they were one step ahead of us. They changed the default password.
They did. They changed the default password, which is a good thing for them, I guess. But I want access to my drug testing results. Can I demand that they give me the code or I guess they need to tell me, but still, I want access to that.
So, but by getting access to that, you would get access to everyone's results, right?
True, yeah. Yeah. And also, if you get in, you can enter a specific social security number for somebody's specific results.
Mm-hmm.
And, the ID is 5 digits, and so is password.
Now, who uses this?
Managers who have people drug tested before they get hired, they call up to see if they are taking drugs or if they're not taking drugs.
So that's how they do it, huh?
Yeah, that's how they do it.
They call an 800 number and they just rely on that 800 number and punching in a lot of digits to know that this person is or is not on drugs.
That's right.
That's just great.
Now the folks out there can try it themselves.
Oh, yes, have lots of fun. I just hope that somebody, some boss somewhere doesn't dial that up, hit the wrong number, and find out your employee is smoking crack, doing heroin, taking ecstasy, and smokes a little bud on the weekends.
I don't think they list the specific drugs.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Well, then what do they say? Do they just say that...
If or negative, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where's the fun in that?
It would be cool if they did list everything that was in there.
Yeah. And in fact, he was drunk as a son of a bitch when he took the test.
Yeah, there you go.
See, that would be fun. Now I want to get into that. I want to hear what that sounds like.
I want to hear some results. But we need to get the password.
Yeah. Well, I take it you're not on drugs because you're working there.
No, I'm not. I asked them.
you asked them, am I on drugs?
But by the way, what was my result? And they said, oh, you're clean.
Oh, and see, that's...
I know I'm clean.
Yeah, but that's the wrong question to ask. Yo, did anything show up? No. All right, cool, man.
Yeah, pretty much what I did too.
All right, now Dash, moving on here. I know you're a big fan of free speech.
Of course, isn't everybody?
No.
No.
No. Hell no. No, no, no.
No, no. Of course not.
No. But this is a legal thriller set in a fishbowl.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, this is a legal thriller set in the fishbowl.
Oh, okay.
It's the story of a multi-million dollar lawsuit that has transformed a sleepy online community of aquatic plant gardeners into a hotbed of accusations of libel, conspiracy, defamation, computer hacking, infringement on freedom of speech, and even death threats. Now, what this is all about is, we all know about online mailing lists. People contribute their usual BS to a mailing list, send it in, and it gets mailed out to everyone else on that list.
Right.
If you've ever subscribed to the Hope Conference mailing list, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Well, this one was for people that get a kick out of growing plants underwater.
Okay.
Like aquariums. People write in and say what they use to grow the plants, what they don't use, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, one guy apparently posted a message that said something negative about, I want to make sure I get the the name of the company, right?
Did he say something bad about those plants?
Well, no, he didn't say anything bad about the plants. I don't want to read through the whole thing, though. I had a section marked.
Make fun of the nerdy underwater gardeners?
Hey, now. No need to make fun of the nerdy underwater gardeners.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
All right, well, the guy that's suing these people...
What happened?
All right. Robert Novak, okay?
Huh?
Pets Warehouse, that's it. Robert Novak of Pets Warehouse, PetsWarehouse.com, goes to this list, which he's a member of, and sees a negative remark about his company on the list. A guy had said that if you're thinking of purchasing products from Pets Warehouse, don't. And the guy proceeds to say why he doesn't think people should purchase merchandise from Pets Warehouse. And, see, Mr. Novak didn't like that because he feels that that is libel. He feels that that's a lie. He feels that that's somehow hurting his business because this guy is spreading all these vicious rumors about him. Because if this guy, whose name is Dan Wrestler, the guy that made the post, is telling people not to purchase from there because they're horrible businessmen, he's somehow committing libel. He's making fraudulent claims about a business, and that's hurting the business.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, now...
How did this turn into a lawsuit?
Well, Novak, the guy who is accusing everyone on this list, because, you know, once you post something to a list, people come along and, you know, they might agree with you or disagree with you. Well, a lot of people agreed with him, saying, this is ridiculous. Now, you know, don't purchase from there, first of all. But then, once Novak comes along and says, all right, I'm suing anybody who talks about this, then more people jumped on and said, this is ridiculous. So, how did this become a lawsuit? Well, Novak went after the administrator of the mailing list, although they haven't been specifically named, and then found out information about people on the mailing list, sued them, and he's suing them all, everybody who said something bad about his company, for $15 million. I think that's $15 million. And it says here, $15 million lawsuits suck the life out of online discussions. Please support the APD Defense Fund, reads one banner. Another quotes Harry Truman, in a free country, we punish men for crimes they commit, but never for the opinions they have. Now, this comes from the APD. What does the APD stand for?
How does this even get into the court system? I mean...
Well, he accused them of libel, which is basically, I'm accusing, like, alright, here's an example. If I say you're a pedophile, I'm guilty of libel because I'm making a defamatory statement about you. I'm saying something that's not true that hurts your image.
Yeah, right.
Which is against the law. Okay, now, Novak, the guy who had this said about him, is saying the same thing here. He's saying that these people who are talking crap about him are somehow hurting his business by expressing their opinions. So that's the whole case for the courts to decide. Do these people expressing their opinions, or are these people expressing their opinions, guilty of libel, guilty of hurting his business? That's what it's all about.
I don't think so. I think they had a bad experience with his business, and now they're saying what happened.
Yeah, they're expressing their opinions about it.
Yeah.
And it's up to the courts now to decide.
Where does this guy get off? First, he runs a business where these people have a bad experience with, and now he's suing them.
Yeah, well, I think he's going to have a lot more bad business dealings in the future. I don't know what he hopes to accomplish by this. Maybe, well, I guess if he makes $15 million, so he would have accomplished a lot.
Yeah, but I hope these people turn around and sue him for, you know, what does that call him?
For libel?
No, I don't know, but I hope they sue him instead. I hope he loses and they sue him and they win. But, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You mean that you want them to file a countersuit against him?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Alright. One guy here who's in favor of the people on the mailing list says, it sounds like in this case there is no intention to mislead anybody. These are not competitors trying to attract customers. The question will be, does it really mislead or confuse anybody? But, now here's the thing that gets me, but for many of the defendants, this is already a moot point. According to Wrestler, at one point, the money in the defense fund ran out, and when the defendants had to start paying out of their own funds, they got scared. Novak is representing himself, pro se, in the case. Now, what does this mean? Well, basically, if you're defending yourself and you run out of money, you're wrong. No matter what, you're wrong, because you don't have the money to fight it.
No, that's stupid.
Well, it's stupid, yeah, but that's how the law works. If you don't have the money to fight something, you have to give up the fight, and the other guy wins. So...
Sad situation right there.
You have to make sure that you have a lot of backing before you decide to fight one of these things. I mean, we can go on the air and tell people that you have to fight, but... it costs you money, you know.
It does cost you money.
It's not an easy thing. Now, here's the thing. There's a lot of things in this article. This guy, this Novak guy, claims that he was unable to defend himself because his posts to the mailing list were blocked. All right. Now, why were they blocked? He's accusing the mailing list moderator, the administrator of the list, of blocking him. While the administrator claims, no, the idiot was trying to post something with a file attachment in his email, and that's why his messages got bounced. So you can decide for yourself whether he was blocked from the list or he was being an idiot. But to me personally, it sounds like he was being an idiot, because this guy doesn't sound like a Kevin Mitnick, if you know what I mean.
You said the Novak guy. That's the guy that runs the company, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lawyer?
He's representing himself.
So, why doesn't he have a lawyer? He runs his company, he's got a lot of money probably, and he won't hire a lawyer? What's with this guy?
Well, just because you have a company doesn't mean you have a lot of money.
Well, I would think he'd have some. Anyway, it seems weird to me.
Yeah,
This guy's just stupid.
Just want to make sure that there's nothing else that is of importance. Okay.
I think that's about it.
It's amazing what some Filipino hackers can do while you're on the web. Havoc with your credit by now. Okay, this is one of the threats that... here, let me just read the paragraph. It's clear from email quoted in the complaint that some of the supporters of the original Aquarius may have gotten more than a little carried away in their rhetoric. In court filings, Novak cites email he says he received from Edward Venn, a member of the APD list from Saitama, Japan. On March 5th, 2002, another threat by Edward Venn stated, "It's amazing what some Filipino hackers can do while you're on the web. Havoc with your credit by now." I don't know what that means, but apparently he got it. Both of these threats were reported to the FBI and sent to forums to expose the threats. So he's claiming that he's getting all these threats on his life, on his computer, and it's just utter chaos.
Yeah, it sounds like chaos, and it sounds stupid. I can't say that enough. It sounds really stupid.
Well, it's
just stupid all around. This guy is suing these people for expressing their opinion, and he's representing himself. Now he's got Filipino hackers after him.
Well, that's what he's claiming, yeah. But let's move on to a story that's a bit funnier. Did you hear Halle Berry got hacked?
I don't think you can find a funnier story. What?
I just said Halle Berry got hacked.
Halle Berry got hacked.
So that sounds a little bit funnier to me.
What, her website?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Halle Berry may still be dazed after her Best Actress Oscar win Sunday, but at least she has some loyal techies around to keep watch over her personal website. Just days after her historic Academy Award victory, someone hacked into her official site, www.hollywood.com, vandalizing one of her photos and putting a potentially racist email address on the site, the New York Daily News reports.
What does that mean, potentially racist?
Well, I think it speaks for itself, but I'll get to what was actually put there. Berry's webmaster pulled the site down briefly Wednesday when the tagger added a mustache and beard onto the actress's photo from Monsters Ball and then left an email address that included the letters KKK. Berry's camp reportedly upgraded security on the site before putting it back up live. So, I guess somewhere in the email were the letters KKK.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know any words that have KKK in them, so who knows. But, while it's not known who was responsible for the hacking, the scrawlings also included a mention of fellow Oscar nominee Nicole Kidman, and some tabloids speculate that it was the work of a disgruntled Moulin Rouge fan.
Maybe. Even though I haven't seen either of those movies.
Yeah, that would just suck if somebody put up a picture of a hobbit or something. What was that guy's name? That hobbit? I'm going to get so much crap for this for not knowing.
Who?
The Hobbit, the Lord of the Rings, the little guy.
The little guy?
Yeah.
Which one was that?
Elijah Wood, the little guy.
Oh, Frodo.
Biggins? Baggins.
Baggins, I think.
Frodo, somebody listening to the show knows.
I do?
Yeah, just post it in the chat right now. You know you know it. You know you know it.
They know that in there.
They know it. All right, so Halle Berry got hacked.
Yeah, well, that's a bummer.
That's a shame.
It is a shame.
Scratch this off in the old notebook here. Now, let's see. Oh, you know what? Let's just get the sad stuff out of the way.
All right.
Let's get the business part of the show done.
We already did the sad stuff.
What was the sad stuff?
The Halle Berry thing. That was pretty sad.
No, that's not sad. This is sad.
This is sad. I got something sad, but go ahead.
Yeah, this is sad. This deals with our magazine, Equal Access.
Oh, yeah, this is pretty sad.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, the response to it has been so big that we really cannot afford any more subscribers.
Yeah.
Now, listen to what I'm saying. If you have subscribed, fear not. You will receive every issue that you were promised.
Yeah.
So if you subscribe for 2 years, for 3 years, for whatever, you will receive every single issue when it's due out. So no worries. If you have your subscription in the mail, you will get your issues. We're going to make the cutoff date, let's make it April 8th. So if you want to get your subscription in, send it out by April 8th, but that's it. Those are all the subscriptions that we can accept. We're not going to be taking any renewals.
Kind of sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad, but you know, it's something that you try, you know.
Yeah.
You try it, but not everything can work out.
I understand. It's just, you know, sad. Sad day. I wish we had some sad music to play or something.
No, there's no reason for that. But, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe, I don't know.
What?
We'll see what happens. Well, I'm just thinking that I want to say maybe if we had more people writing, you know, but then we'd have to pay them, and it's not really that, because we need, you know, we would need a lot more money to mail this out, because we're not a real business and it costs a lot to send it out, so
yeah,
it's just not feasible, you know?
We have a free, Xerox machine. They want to send it or something.
Well, a free Xerox machine and postage and paper and ink and everything else, maybe, but no, it's not going to happen. So
that's true.
If you do want to get you know, up to 3 years of Equal Access, you can send in your subscription to the address listed on the Equal Access page, but it has to be postmarked by April 8th, which is a couple days from now, so this will give a chance for people who have been seriously considering it to finally make the leap and do it. And like I said, anybody who subscribed already or has their subscription in the mail, you will receive every single issue. So there's no reason to write in all worried about not getting what you paid for.
Right, indeed.
You will get it. It's just that we can't accept any new subscriptions. We're just going to let Equal Access taper off, run its course.
Yes.
And, because, you know, it's something you try, but, I don't know, not everything can work out.
Very true.
All right, now, what did you have for us, Dash?
Well, it's kind of sad, but it's kind of, it's not, I don't know, just listen, all right? Just sit down and listen. U.S. courts claim jurisdiction over Skolarov. Yeah. A federal judge has turned down a motion to dismiss the prosecution of Elcomsoft and First Case brought under America's controversial Digital Millennium Copyright Act. During a pretrial hearing on Monday, lawyers argued that since Elcomsoft's advanced e-book processor, which can circumvent the weak copyright protection in electronic books, was legal in Russia and distributed over the Internet, a U.S. court had no right to adjudicate on the matter. Adjudicate, I hope that's right.
Yeah.
Argument failed to impress U.S. District Court Judge Ronald White. The conduct which underlies the indictment includes Elcomsoft offering its AEBPR, the advanced debug processor program, for sale over the internet from a computer server physically located in the United States. Purchasers obtained copies of the program in the United States. Payments were directed to and received by an entity in the United States. The judge has yet to rule on two more significant motions. It's argued that charges brought against Moscow-based Elcomsoft under the DMCA should be dismissed because the law is too broad and vague, and that the criminal charges against Elcomsoft are likely to prove unconstitutional, attacking its rights to free speech. The prosecution opposes these motions and contends that Elcomsoft's tool could be used to illegally circumvent the copy protection in Adobe eBooks and was sold as such in violation of the DMCA. It's unclear when the judge will rule on the two remaining motions to dismiss. The case is scheduled to return to court April 15th, at which time, providing the case is not dismissed, a trial date may be set. So it's a sad, kind of sad turn of events, but there's still hope in that case, I think.
Yeah, but, you know, I just like seeing people that actually challenge the DMCA, you know?
Yes, I know what you mean.
You gotta give them credit for that.
Well, I thought I'd mention that because it's kind of an update, you know?
Yeah. I hope nothing comes of it. I hope that Elcomsoft isn't forced to pay any sort of money, because it's ridiculous that... Well, you know, we've told that story before.
Yeah, we have.
So, it's a good update. But here's another thing that we've been talking about a little bit. We've touched upon it. I'm sure you're opposed to a national ID plan, aren't you, Dash?
A national ID plan?
Yeah, where everybody is responsible for every single step they make and everyone is identified biometrically.
Yeah, I'm pretty against that.
Your DNA is on record, put it that way.
Yeah, like fingerprints, except for DNA, yeah, I know. That's messed up.
For everybody.
Yeah.
In a legal challenge to increased government secrecy post-September 11th, the nonprofit Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, filed a federal lawsuit Tuesday against the Office of Homeland Security and its director, Governor Tom Ridge, seeking release of documents detailing what it says is the government's secret development of a de facto national identification standard. So this article here goes on to talk about how EPIC is trying to use the Freedom of Information Act to acquire information regarding a national ID system that is being implemented by the government, supposedly. They don't have the facts on it, but they claim that the government is developing this because of September 11th, or at least has become more active in developing this post-September 11th.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get information about it. Not much to really say. I think it's pretty much speaks for itself. The government is claiming that that this isn't really even covered by Freedom of Information. I'm not sure really what that means, but it says here that the U.S. government now has 30 days to file a response to the to EPIC's requesting the information. It is unclear whether... No, actually, EPIC... I think EPIC sued them. Is that correct?
EPIC.
Yeah, it's a nice name. Yeah, EPIC actually is suing the U.S. government for this information. And now the U.S. government has 30 days to file a response. It's unclear whether the office activities are even subject to the open government laws. The office could file a motion to dismiss the suit if it takes the position it is not subject to Freedom of Information. EPIC Executive Director Mark Rotenberg has written to Senator Leader Tom Daschle and Minority Leader Trent Lott requesting that the Office of Homeland Security comply with Freedom of Information Act requirements. And it'd be nice to get them. But Dash, can you imagine that, though, a national ID system?
I don't want to imagine that. I don't want to have to... No, I don't want that. That's just... No.
Well, some people say we already have it in the form of Social Security.
Well, that is true. A little truth to that, but... I don't want to take it any further, you know.
Yeah. Did I ever mention about how when I was in third grade we had the DARE program? I take it you had that?
Yes, I actually won the contest thing for Dare, but yeah.
Did you win the bear?
What?
Did you win the bear?
No, I didn't win the bear. I won a little medal thing.
Oh, you won a medal. Okay, because, see, in my class, if you were the good student of the day, you got the Dare bear.
Oh, right.
And I was good every day, but I never got that bear.
No, see, mine was about, you had to write an essay or something about...
Yeah.
Why drugs are bad or something, I don't remember. Yeah. And I put it off until, like, I was in school one day, and I put it off, and I just read it really quick during lunch, and I won. I was like, what the crap? But, yeah, I won a little medal thing. Anyways, ironic, because the lady who was running the DARE program, she was a police officer who gave me my medal, is one of the same detectives that arrested me for my thing last year.
Are you serious?
I am serious, my friend.
She was actually there to arrest you.
Yep, she was one of the detectives that came to my house to arrest me.
Did she recognize you?
No. I guess not. She didn't say anything.
I would have said, let me just grab my medal.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think she probably did so many of those, but I recognize her, all right.
Wow, that's
I see she made detective, not.
Anyway, yeah. So in my class, see that's cool though. You got a medal. See, in my class, everybody got the bear except me. I never got to take home the bear. And then, my best friend won the damn bear. He got it, because he pulled his name out of a hat. That son of a... He got the...
He got the bear, huh?
Yeah, well, anyway, the point of this is that one day in Dare...
Do we have a point to this?
Yes, I do. One day in Dare, they said, now we're going to show you how we fingerprint people.
Oh, yay.
And they took all the kids over, inked up their fingers, including mine, and squished our thumbs onto little cards. Then, Officer Friendly took the cards and left. And I'm thinking, wow, that's what it's like to get fingerprinted.
Officer Friendly?
Yeah, Officer Friendly, whose son was arrested for drugs. Yeah. Anyway,
irony.
They took the cards, and I'm thinking, wow, that's what it's like to get fingerprinted. Cool. Never thinking, I just got fingerprinted.
Yeah, you just got fingerprinted.
My prints are on record.
By the man. The man just came in and tricked you into getting fingerprinted.
I did not even commit a crime, but now they have my prints on record. And you know they didn't take those cards and throw them away.
Oh, they took them down to the station, my friend.
They took them and they put them on file.
For when you grow up to be a junkie and get arrested, they'll have it.
But you see, my whole point here is that schools, prisons, you know, that's pretty much it. Schools and prisons are like training grounds for things that officials want to do in the real world. Now, what do I mean? Well, we've seen it with filtering software. In fact, I had a little interview here that was an audio interview from Wired News, and there's no reason to play it, really, but it was just going to be a time filler. But it mentions in it how a guy says, you know, I don't object to filtering software in schools, because when children are there, they shouldn't be looking at objectionable material online, which, you know, I suppose I can agree with to a certain extent, because, you know, sometimes a kid might have to see something on those computers that the filtering software blocks. But my point is that you can do that in a school, because...
Yeah.
Kids.
With IDs, you know, in high schools and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. IDs.
That's worn around their neck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uniforms and filtering, because kids don't have rights. You don't. That's it. If you're in school, like in a high school, you don't have rights. You know, you can't go to the bathroom anytime you want unless you're in one of those good high schools, but in most public schools, you have no rights whatsoever, so it's a great place to try out things, you know, to see...
I never looked at it that way. Yeah, they're making you ask. I mean, making you ask for everything, and you have to. Man, that just pisses me off now that I think about it.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it took me until I got into college to realize this, because college is just like, screw you, I'm leaving. You know.
You could be like that guy on that on Seven, where he just you know, cut off his fingertips, and you won't have fingerprints anymore.
Okay, yes, you could do that.
Yeah, you could do that if you wanted to.
I certainly don't recommend it, but...
You know what we need to mention? Are you finished?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay, the question of the week.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, do I have any replies yet? Ah, you know what, screw it. I'll just go to the site and look at them. I had them, but I deleted them, and I was going to get them again.
Oh, good. You deleted them, yes. Very good.
Well, you know, there's really no point in reading them because people could read them on the site.
That's true. That is true.
But,
Why not? You don't want to read them? Or do you just want to give out the next question of the week?
Nope. Because I don't have a next question of the week. You?
I do.
Well, here we are. We are at the last question of the week was one by me that was, many people believe if you do the crime, you should do the time. Sadly, this implies that many people who do no damage whatsoever may soon be facing life in prison. Do you believe that people who do no damage and merely embarrass their targets deserve to be punished? If so, what kind of punishment would be fair? Now, this first one comes from, I guess you pronounce it Dak, D-A-K?
Yes, Damien A-K.
Okay. I believe hacking should not be a felony at all. There is no bodily harm, it should be.
Yeah.
There is no property stolen or damaged. It's all just in the software. It's all ones and zeros. I don't see how anybody should have to do time for that. Of course, there are some forms of hacking which should be punished with jail time, like stealing credit card numbers and using or selling them. But simply hacking a website and maybe defacing it should be a misdemeanor offense. I don't see how companies always claim it costs them millions of dollars to fix their systems after a security breach. I guess in the end, it all depends on what the person did and if it is his or her first time. It's a good point, although remember, some people would not consider stealing credit card numbers to be hacking.
Yeah, that's true.
XSXS says, no, I say that they shouldn't do the time. Just because they're smarter than your average Joe doesn't mean they have to be taken care of. It's because dumb people, Big Brother, are afraid of smart people, hackers. And if someone does do damage to a system, they should first be warned, and if they still don't stop, they should have a visit to the police station just to get an impression of how it's like. Okay, it's one man's opinion.
That is one man's opinion.
Digital Fun has a big old long one here, so he says, I'm not going to read through all of it, we don't have time. Funny this topic should come up. In my U.S. history class, my class period has been mimicking the U.S. Senate, like everyone in class had to make a bill. I can't believe he actually wrote like. Then it had to get passed in committee and then in the actual Senate, and students would vote. And I made a bill on computer hacking to reduce computer hacker sentences because there's no hope to legalize hacking. I also suggested in the bill that corporations should pay to have their security tested or just give out permission to have their security tested instead of hackers just doing it by themselves. And, well, nobody voted for my bill. They say computer hackers deserve life in prison for major offenses, and for first-time offenses they deserve 2 years in prison and a fine depending on how much damage the company claims that was done. And this shows how brainwashed people are. And he continues, but it's long. Alright, then we have Damien A.K. again, and Morris says, well, I think there has to be time done if you do something harmful to the computer you gain access to. Just for gaining access and looking around, I don't think there should be a punishment. And Dak, for saying it's just like you are taking ones and zeros and stuff is a bit out there, because it's like saying when you steal something you are just taking atoms and molecules, no big deal. But it's what they make up that matters. Yes, but you can't copy atoms and molecules.
Yet.
Not yet. Sentius says, it's easy for me to say that I don't condone the types of punishments hackers have and will continue to receive in court. I think the main problem is that society doesn't realize that there is such a thing as the pursuit of knowledge. Except it's exploration, we all know that, but to the masses it's nothing more than privacy invasion. And along with that invasion, they associate the term hacker with thief. They don't see the difference between good and bad, right and wrong. To them, a hacker is someone who wants to hurt them. There is no good in a person who does that. For those reasons, we will continue to be persecuted, shunned by the public. There is a difference, but it takes something special to realize that. I think the actions against hackers should be reevaluated based on what harm is actually done. He continues, but it's long.
Okay. I think those are enough.
Well, we got two more, and I don't want two people left out, so I'm just going to read Spank Dogs and Zero Datas real quick. For simple... Hey, we don't want to leave people out now. For simple hacking defacing websites, first offense should be a small fine and a slap on the wrist, and I dropped my pen. Second offense should be a bigger fine and community service. Third offense should be another big fine and longer community service or a small sentence of jail time. That's Spank Dog. Zero Data says there are already laws against theft, vandalism, fraud, etc. The sentences for the digital crimes of the same nature are usually harsher. That is wrong, but there should be punishment if you commit a crime using technology, but the sentence should not be greater than the analog of the crime. Commas are fine. Feel free to use them. Okay, so that's what they say. There is more. If you want to read it, go to the message board, and you can see it there. Now, Dash, what is the new question of the week?
This one is short and to the point. and hope people come up with creative ideas.
Short ones, too. Short ones are good.
Yeah, well, true. If you were to create a new operating system, what would you name it?
Yeah, the squeaky chair. That's what I'd name it.
Squeaky chair.
Yeah, the squeaky chair. I'd call it Wanix, but maybe that's just me.
If you were to create a new operating system, what would you name it? Go post it on the board.
Okay, what would you name your operating... I like that one. It's short and sweet.
Yeah, it is.
There's really no need for explanation. It's just, what would you name it?
Yeah, what would you name it? What would you name it?
Okay, what would you name your operating system? So Dash will put that up for everybody to answer. And I noticed that we already had some comments on the suggestion board, so we're going to go check those out. Time to close up the notebook for yet another episode of Hacker Mind. Dash, I have to apologize.
Why?
I have to take a moment to apologize here. Well, I've made some comments throughout the night about strippers and your obsession with them, particularly of the male nature. I would like to apologize for that.
Thank you.
Dash does not like strippers. Strippers are the devil, according to
him. The male nature.
He does not like any type of strippers.
Oh, no. Don't.
I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
The male.
He doesn't like strippers.
No, they're
fine. In fact, any strippers listening, he doesn't like you.
No.
So, until next time.
No, one of these days.
Subscribe to Equal Access if you haven't already, because it's going bye-bye.
Where's Dish? I came to the show alone. Where is he? Oh, I'm screwed.
Oh, I can do the show by myself.
I'm going to be laughing.
I can do the show by myself. You don't think I can?
I'm going to be laughing. I'm going to DOS the HackerMind chat. The HackerMind server while you're on. That's what I'm going to do.
You're going to... The HackerMind server is 2600.net, and that's run by Fiber Optic.
No, I mean, Rant Radio.
Well, I think Fiber Optic...
I'm not going to do that. I'm just kidding.
You're going to DOS Rant Radio?
No, I'm not. No, not somebody's going to do that, and they're going to blame it on me. No, I'm not doing that.
Dash is going to DOS Rant Radio, and you don't like strippers.
No.
All right, well, this is Screamer Chaonix.
I'm not going to be here next week.
Or Dash Intro. Yes, you are.
See you later.
Yeah. We'll see ya. Bye-bye. Conflict, contact, combat. Fight a share where the land is marked at. Settle the dispute about who the lies. Pre-world answer, whatever survives. Only one of us can ride forever. So you and I can't ride together. Can't live or can't die together. All we can do is collide together. So I'm skillfully applied to pressure. Won't stop until I'm forever one. A doorstep where death never comes. Spread across time, your time never done. And I'm never done. Some assembly required.
I'm not talking to you.
Assembly!